Thank you. it's amazing what praise has been doing. You just come in the house of the Lord, you can feel down, you can feel out, you can feel depressed, you can feel anxious, but when you begin to praise the Lord, you begin to lift your hands, you begin to lift your voice, it's amazing how weight just begins to be lifted off. It's amazing what praise it can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. I want to reiterate what was said earlier in the first session. Special election happening this Tuesday evening. You can be seated. Did I not say that? I thought I said that. Sorry. Maybe I said it so fast you didn't hear me. But I want to remind you, Tuesday night, September 3rd, the special election taking place, voting upon the pastoral candidate, Brother and Sister Johnson. And so we encourage you to come be a part of that. If you're in question as to what qualifies a voting member, well, that is posted on the bulletin board at the back. It is directly from our Articles of Incorporation. And if you have any question concerning that, you can look therein. And I encourage you to come be a part of that. If you have a need this morning, why don't you slip up your hand? God knows every need, every circumstance, every situation. I would ask that we would especially remember those that are in harm's way in relation to the storm, Dorian. As my wife and I were boarding the plane, getting ready to leave earlier in the week, we said, man, we got married the week and a hurricane hit. We're going back to see where we're going to live the week a hurricane might hit. You know, it's just, well, I guess if you're going to live in Florida, you just have to understand that that's a way of life. Thankfully, it looks as though the direction, the model is possibly taking it just off the coast, but there will be a lot of storm surge, rain, other things that are destructive in relation to that. And something that I was thinking, you know, it's never a good thing when a hurricane hits. Even places like Panama City, Mexico Beach area are still reeling from the effects of Hurricane Michael, I believe it was. But when you think about those kind of isolated islands, the Bahamas, those places that do not have the infrastructure that we have, they do not have the capability, they don't have the expertise. Many of those places take many, many, many years to recover. Much of their income comes in the form of tourism, and when resorts and places like that are wiped out, they lose substantial amount of, it has a great economic effect upon them. Most importantly, we want to pray that there's no loss of life. Buildings can be rebuilt, things can be restored in the sense of property, but lives taken is something that we want to pray that God puts his hand of protection upon those in the path of that storm. Why don't you stand to your feet? I know there are many other needs represented in this place. I pray for my wife as she travels back today. Her flight will be okay. Everything will be fine. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to be here in your presence. Lord, I know even among these select few, God, who have made an effort to be here this morning on this weekend, God, there are needs represented, Lord, and we ask that you would move, that you would work, God, that you would do your greatness in each and every heart and life, Lord, that we would submit unto you and allow you to work in us and through us. Lord, we pray specifically for those who are in the path of this storm. God, we ask that you would protect them, watch over them, God. There be no loss of life, God. Let people take appropriate precautions, God. Let them heed the warnings, God, as they come in, God. We thank you, Lord, that we have science, Lord. We thank you that we have the things which would tell us, God, of impending destruction, Lord. And we ask that they would heed to those warnings, God, that they would follow accordingly. We love you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, God, for all that you are and all that you do. You are so great and greatly to be praised. We honor you. We thank you. We praise you. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? To mind you, want to remind you, there is no PM activity here at the church. Right, we do recognize this Labor Day weekend, have many families that are out traveling, that sort of stuff. So there is no PM activity here at the church tonight. While you're on your feet, want to bring to this pulpit Brother Dunaway. So good of Brother and Sister Dunaway to come once again and help us during this time of transition. Why don't you put your hands together and welcome to the platform, Brother Dunaway. Come, take your liberty.
Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Well, we're back again. Amen. And it's good to be back again. Wonderful presence of the Lord. place, the presence of the Lord. Amen. So we're thrilled to be back with you today, and we're praying that you get to select our pastor and see this church grow and multiply. Amen. You may be seated. I have this is a very special time. 66 years ago today, my wife and I got married. Amen. And it's been a wonderful 66 years. Matter of fact, we're going to try it again, 66 more years. I don't think the Lord has those plans, but it would be nice. I want to talk this morning for a little bit, and it'll probably be a little bit, about the family. And wife and I are, let me read a scripture here found in the 15th chapter, John. One scripture says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." When I think about the family, my wife and I and our family, and I know them better than anybody else, us better than anybody else, so I'll talk about myself. When we got married, I was actually, I'll tell a little story on us. My wife was supposed to go to school. This is the 1st of September, you know, and she was supposed to go to school. But instead, we took off and got married. I don't advise that now. It's pretty stupid, but we did it anyway. She was 15, I was 19. I wouldn't advise that either. So don't pattern your life after me on that ground. But we have had a wonderful marriage, and I married into a wonderful family. My wife had several aunts, grandparent, grandmother, her parent, grandfather had passed away. But we, and of course her dad's family, wonderful, wonderful people. Her dad was killed in World War II, but the rest of the family treated me like one of their own sons. So there's something special about a family, that it's just a closeness, a love, feeling of love, sharing with one another. Our family, we have a daughter. She's lives up at Rockford, and we have a son, and we have three grandchildren, and now we have two great-grandchildren. And now I want to tell you something, they're special. They're special. You know, our babies are prettier than anybody else's. They're more awesome than anybody else. And we love them dearly. And they return that love by loving us. Amen. I mean, almost every day, my son calls us and checks on us. And we talk to our grandsons, our granddaughter, and even the little great ones. They try to talk. The one, he's about 3 or 4 years old, so he can talk. No, he's more than that. He's 6 or 7, isn't he? Yeah. And but the other one, he's not quite two yet, but he tries. He can make some noises. But there's something so wonderful about a family. I want to talk about a family tonight, or this morning, or this afternoon, whatever time it is. But I want to talk about God's family. There's something so very special. I come here, and I feel like I love every one of you, because we're in the family of God. It's just so precious, so wonderful. To any place I go in the United States where there's church people, Pentecostal people, Jesus' name people, Holy Ghost-filled people, there's a bond there. It's just so wonderful and so precious. But the scriptures that I read talks about the family. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, "For this cause, he says, I bow my knee to the Father and the Lord of Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That is named. We have a name. They call us oneness, whatever. The old folks used to call us Jesus only. That was taken today. That's taken the wrong way. But they, when you study back in church history, the precious name of Jesus Christ, all power is in that name, because it's a family name. And a name is so precious. Every one of us think our names is the best. You know? Mail comes, it's in your name. Whatever, you know, it's in your name. And you recognize that. People like to be called by their names, because your name is something special to you. Nobody else, well, somebody may have something like it, but there's not too many Dunaways around. I mean, every place I've lived, there's a Dunaway, but they don't have my first name or my middle name. So I'm special. My name is special to me. It's special to you. Your name is special to you. And so we have a name. He says, Paul writing to the church of Ephesus says, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Talking about the church. The church of born-again people that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' wonderful name. They become a family. And there's nothing replaces a family. The love, just like a natural family, the love, the closeness, and the fellowship that we have. Amen. In my father's ancestry, I think he had 8 brothers and 1 sister. And my dad never told me this, but I just recently found out this past year that he had another brother that was stillborn. And I looked up his grave, and I found it. The stone is still standing. It's about 140 years old, but it's still standing. But it's covered with moss and all that. And I talked to my cousin, and the next time we're down there together, that's just way down in Fayette County, we're going to clean that stone up, because he's part, even though he was stillborn, he's still a human being that was born without life. And we want to respect him for that. But the family of God, the Lord's family, is so precious. In the second chapter of Ephesians, the 19th verse, "Now therefore that ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God." We're not strangers any longer. We have been brought out of the world into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and made a part of the family. Part of the family. So wonderful. You know, over in the book of Romans, and I just want to read one scripture here. It says, and some of you, let me back up and say it, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive trees, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. He's talking about grafting. Now, I am not a horticulturist or whatever they call those people that do all that, but I have studied a little bit about grafting. And before something can be grafted in, something has to be cut off. It has to be, that tree has to be wounded in order for me or you or that limb to be grafted into it. So, actually, you can take a small limb from a red apple tree, graft it into a apple tree that produces the golden colored apples, and you could also take a limb from a pear tree and graft it in. You could have three types of fruit on one tree by grafting it in. It's amazing. I have saw one time last verse where it was grafted in. But it's something special about being grafted in. Something was cut, wounded, that I and you could be grafted in to the natural branch, to the root. I'll use the term of the tree. The trunk of the tree or part of the tree, you were grafted in and been. You receive your strength then, or in a natural, we'd say the moisture, the water, the fluid that flows to that which gives it life. You and I are grafted in to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and we receive our strength from him. We do not do this alone, all by ourselves. We do not have the power. Amen. But when we're grafted into him, if you remember to read over in the book of Matthew, where it talked about the birth of Christ, says, and to you the son was born, so on and so on. But it says he is named Emmanuel, which is God with you. But you read on farther in the word of God, after the day of the Holy Ghost falling, now you read about him being in you, not just with you. We had his presence this morning, wonderful, but it's deeper than just that. It's something within you. And when I received the Holy Ghost, it totally changed my life. I mean, it totally reversed everything I thought about, did, and everything. It changed me. Why? Because I was grafted in to the trunk of the tree, of the tree that gives me the energy, the strength, amen, the whatever it is, to keep me where I am. I think it's a beautiful illustration that Paul gave in the book of Romans about grafting in. I had never thought about it until I got to studying about it. Amen. We were the natural branch, the Jewish, when they rejected him. He said, okay, I'll cut you off. But I got somebody that will love me and someone that will serve me. And so we were grafted in. Amen. To the trunk of that tree. I'm going to use that term. Trunk of that tree. The branches of that tree. And we receive our strength from him. Amen. When are we grafted in? When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the power of the living God abides within you. Not around you necessarily, not just with you, but in you. Now, when I say that, going back to the family, which makes us a part of God's family. We have a family, a natural family, yes, but when we get when we receive the Holy Ghost, it's in us, and then He gives us the strength. He qualifies us to be a part of His family. And if you want to go to heaven, He's coming back for His people, His bride. He's coming back for them, for His family. See, when you're a part of His family, He provides for you. Natural family, someone has some situations and problems, we're there to help. I think I mentioned this the last time I was here, but in our society today, you hear a lot about this DNA. How that, and I've been just kind of, I think it's so wonderful to see people get back in contact with, or get in contact with a family they didn't even know they belonged to. Through DNA, they can test you to find out your ancestry. A lady that my wife and I, well, my wife and I both know very well, very close to her. She was adopted when she was a baby. She always wanted, had the desire to find her birth mother. I don't think she ever did. But now, in our day and time, through DNA, you can trace back. And sometimes it's wonderful. People meet their siblings or their father or their part of the family that they didn't even know they had. They're longing to know. Sometimes twins that were born were adopted by different families. One way and one another. But through DNA, they come back together. They can find one another. And there's a bunch of rejoicing and happiness. And oh, yeah, there could be a few times it's not so nice, too. But most of the time, I've watched it on my, on YouTube. I look at YouTube and follow some of this stuff. And the rejoicing, crying, and happiness when they find their natural family through DNA. I want to tell you something. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you have a natural DNA. Every one of us does. It's our, like our footprints in the sand. We have a natural DNA. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive heaven's DNA. And that's when he comes back. He's coming back for His family. His family. That's what's going to take us out of this world. Oh, praise the Lord. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also glorify together. We are heirs. To be an heir, you need to be part of the family. A few weeks ago, my wife had bought a piano several years ago, and she bought it with an inheritance from her grandmother. And she has it all that, has had that for several years, but it's just, she, now that she's, we're not pastoring and she don't play it, she decides she's going to sell it. So she sold it, but it was an inheritance. Folks, there's an inheritance. That life we do not know. We talk about it. We pray about it. But we don't know what it's all going to be like. We just know it's going to be wonderful. It's an inheritance. Amen. Because we're of the family of God. Words cannot express, cannot explain what heaven is going to be like. A very dear friend of ours, probably 5 or 6 years ago, passed away, one of our ministers in this section. I mean, not this section, section 12. He had cancer, slowly and slowly, slowly passed on. But before he passed on, days before, he never spoke, he didn't know anything, but at the time of his death, right before he passed, he said, it's beautiful, beautiful. He was talking about our inheritance. Hallelujah. Galatians, Paul said, and if you be in Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I noticed a certain man, I didn't even know how to pronounce his name, but I just know a little bit, he was an extremely rich man, but he had accusations against him, and he was put in prison or in jail or someplace, and he committed suicide. You probably read about him. But I happen to notice also that someone's already filed a lawsuit claiming some of his riches, wanting some of his inheritance. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Why can we, how can we have this that's so beautiful with the Lord Jesus Christ? Like that grafted in. That tree had to be wounded. Cut. Branches cut off to be grafted in. I want to tell you this morning. Jesus Christ. He was wounded. The scripture says, Isaiah says, for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded so you and I could be grafted into his body, his family, his church. You can't say the Holy Ghost is just a little. You don't have to have it. You don't have to speak in tongues. So, yeah, there's all kind of weird things out there. But the Bible is very clear. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you speak with other tongues. But it's more than just a blessing. And it is an extremely blessing. I can take you to the day, to the spot, if the building was still there. They tore it down, built a new building. But I could take you to the very spot, the day, and almost to the hour that God gave me the Holy Ghost. The most wonderful thing that ever happened to me in all of my life. And it has kept me for 62 years. I'm over 62 years old in the Holy Ghost. It's kept me all this time because he put something in my soul. He paid the price. He was wounded that I could have this beautiful inheritance that we're talking about this morning. Again, in Galatians, it says, therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. You're not just one of the servants that serves us. You're a son. Part of the family. Family of God. But a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That DNA, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, we become part of Him. Luke says it this way, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. It's like that long lost brother, sister, father out there that someone is seeking to find and seeking to know and seeking to come. And when they come together, I look on the internet, YouTube, and find this and see how people are just embracing one another and loving one another because they've found somebody in their family. And the angels, as Paul says, rejoice over one sinner. Just one sinner. Family of God. Family of God. I'd like for us to all stand this morning. If you're not a part of God's family, I want you to be. He wants you to be. He's given you an invitation to be. It's not His will that anybody be lost. And I've got us together around the front here this morning. Thank you.
Recognize that we are somehow, some way, distantly related. That's all well and good, but I, in kindness one time, I just want to stop her and say, man, that is wonderful. But you know what? There's something more wonderful than our blood connection in the sense of a natural. There is a connection in the spiritual.
Yes,
we are part
yes.
of the household of God, of the family of Jesus Christ. Can we, in these final moments, just lift our hands, lift our voice, thank you, Jesus. We have opportunity to be a part of the great name of Jesus, the name by which we are saved, God, the name by which we have salvation, that we are a part of this household of faith, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somewhere inside of each and every one of us, there's a desire to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Let us know that there is nothing greater, there is nothing bigger than being a part of the household of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being in service this morning. Pray that you would have time to spend with your family during this Labor Day weekend. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.